A long week. Maybe you're suffering from erectile dysfunction. Well, let's stop you there and make sure that you're not suffering from erectile dysfunction during this erection season. I think one thing that we can all agree on is you should vote blue for BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. There are certain promises on this platform that we are running on. Prescribed online, if approved, shipped straight to your door discreetly. There's a lot of people worried that people are going to get involved in their bedroom activities. Well, let me tell you, Blue Chew will be involved in your bedroom activities. That main event performance, that top of the line performance that you look for in BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. You might have to wait in line at the polls, but you don't have to wait in line at the doctor or the pharmacy. Not with BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. And when you use that code, you get your first shipment free. You want to talk about economics? You want to talk about the price of things expanding? The only thing expanding is going to be, well, you know. First shipment free? Man, you want to talk healthcare? Prescribed online if approved. Can't beat that. And you won't want to beat anything else once you use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Thank you, my fellow Americans. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Fightful, it's your post-show review for AEW Dynamite. We also have a show covering NXT, ECW. I enjoyed a few spots on there. Listen, man, I am an ECW geek. I am a Francine geek above all. That is just such a wonderful woman. I think the world of Francine, and it made me very happy to see her on NXT and really anywhere, because I just think that she's a great person. If you haven't checked out her show that she does with Chad, just great, great stuff. But get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. It would mean an awful lot to us. I am producing, I am hosting, and I am moderating, doing all the super chats myself tonight, kicking it old school, all that good stuff. But Alex and Kate will have your NXT review over there. Fun fact, the last time that we went head-to-head, they got Mansoor to show up on the show. I tried to get Mansoor, but he's traveling right now. Go figure. So I'm interested in seeing what it is you guys want to talk about. And hey, if you want more of that, guess what? I did a What's Up You Guys Q&A podcast today here free on YouTube.com/Fightful, but it doesn't end there. FightfulSelect.com. We had some pertinent news today. Mark Davis cleared. He appeared at the end of this show. We also have details on Malachi Black. So we encourage you guys, head over there, FightfulSelect.com. The Q&A show was really good this week. Very, very happy with how that ended up. But let's go ahead and talk about AEW Dynamite. Bear with me, guys, as I am handling these super chats and humper chats. Myself. So, Meat Normus says, I wanted to thank the good people of Manchester for acknowledging Meat, MVP Shelton, and the all meaty Bobby, plus maybe Ricochet and Hobbs. Get the hose. This could have gone against the bloodline. So, lots of meat on this show, obviously. Meat Normus kicks us off, and we talk about the MVP promo, the Hurt Syndicate promo that led off this show. And first off, I will say this, like MVP sort of put over himself, but it also made the Hurt Syndicate look like maybe they're not as desired of a destination as we've seen in the past, because he's talking about how when he gives somebody their business card, he's making an offer to them and how it can change their career or it can ruin their career. And I'm like, man, that's already a couple people that have passed on it, because he dropped Leo Rush a card. Why wouldn't Leo Rush join? we see them offer Ricochet a card later on. Okay. I do think they need to add a member, but the question mark around it was, would it be somebody like Hobbs? Well, I feel like Hobbs might minimize the skill set of a Bobby Lashley and a Shelton Benjamin in this situation, because he does a lot of the same things that they do. I would think more of a Leo Rush, and not necessarily Leo Rush, but somebody that fits more of that Cedric Alexander mold, like a Ricochet, that can really contrast the styles that we see there. So one thing I also noted, incorrect MMA record for Bobby Lashley. I think he said that Bobby Lashley was 19-0 or something. Now, I want to say this. Bobby Lashley was an underrated MMA fighter. I think he was 15-2. And in one of his fights, the one that ended in stoppage because he was exhausted after round two, they stood him up from the mount, which is very rare. I don't think I had ever seen it before. But, I mean, the guy was, you know, decent for what they had him do. He beat a few good people along the way. But, I mean, wasn't like top 15, top 10 UFC fighter. But, I mean, fun to watch. And the thing is, like, you look back at MMA, especially then, Bobby Lashley fighting, Sean O'Hare fighting, Batista fighting. Like, those guys would all make six figures to fight if it were present day. In Batista's case, he'd make millions to fight an MMA fight. But like, a lot of times they barely made a blip on the radar back then. Tom LaValle says maybe Leo Rush, Max Caster, that could work. Hear me out. I would prefer Anthony Bowens. I would really like to see Anthony Bowens doing something with them, and it would effectively split up the Acclaimed. So Swerve comes out, and there's an awful lot of passion there. And he challenges Lashley to Full Gear, and it's accepted, but it just felt like something was missing from this. When you come out of the Swerve Danielson feud and the Swerve Hangman feud, it felt like there should have been more here. Because I don't look at Swerve and expect him to have the same necessarily passion and emotion for this as the Hangman stuff or even the Danielson stuff. And so far it's been a feud based on MVP's respect of Swerve, but his disrespect of Nana. And now it has turned into a situation where they are all disrespecting Swerve. But I would like to see more here, and we've still got a ways to go before Full Gear. But this one, I felt like needed a little bit of something. Maddie Nice says, give me a Hurt Syndicate of Bobby Lashley, MVP, Shelton Hobbs, Ricochet, Max Caster, Monet, and John Silver as the Owen Hart and for the comedy. I would love to see like an Owen Hart for the comedy of it as well. But I think the Hurt Syndicate should expand to a syndicate, like a big group within AEW. Maybe one that can even rival that of the Death Riders would be cool. Eric says, finally, a great crowd. I loved it. See, there were times when I thought this crowd was a little bit dead, Eric. Now, maybe I need to go back and rewatch, because, again, I was watching two shows at once with the primary focus on AEW. But he says, it's such a difference to many, too many half-dead crowds make the shows hard to watch. The Hurt Syndicate is awesome. Personally, want to see more of House of Black, even individually for all three. Any news on when Julia comes back? I've heard no news on Julia, unfortunately. None. So as I think about the crowds for AEW, man, I really miss the way that crowds were 5 years ago for AEW, like right before the pandemic as well. They had some hot crowds then. That was one of my big points of attraction there. Like That was a reason why I just loved watching AEW, and I don't see those white hot crowds anymore. Now, some of that's going to be due to crowd size, which is unfortunate, but I'm hopeful that AEW can heat up and get there. The wrestling business is cyclical, but I don't know if it's miking things better or what might go down there, but Man, I would really like to see those crowds pick back up in that sense.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
We had the OC Mox video that led to the conglomeration taking on the Death Riders. And I'm trying to get out of the habit of calling them BCC because they're not BCC anymore. You know, Pack is in, Danielson's out, Regal isn't there. It's just not the same. It's not the same. Orange Cassidy and Darby end up winning by disqualification. Claudio really whipped OC's ass during this match. I mean, really whipped that ass. Marina gets involved. Mox causes a DQ. I felt like things really did heat up after the match. There were some good spots during the match, but I felt like it really heated up after the match. And Darby certainly is looking like, as far as this one goes, as like he's in a position next up. I do not expect Moxley to lose the title to Orange Cassidy. It seems to me like Darby is being established as the loyal AEW guy. Sometimes I feel like that might be to his detriment. Like I love that he loves AEW. But sometimes I think it comes off a little forced. You know what I mean? And it's not with him. It's not forced, but the way that it comes across on TV is that it is. And I know it's not forced because I talked to him numerous times about his loyalty to AEW and how much he cares about waving that flag for AEW. It is all legitimate. But also with his presentation and his demeanor, sometimes it comes across that way. He had the skateboard. He got involved as well. I love that Moxley cuts this promo with Yuta and Marina outside, and he's like, this man doesn't owe you shit. Like, just because you let him sleep on your couch and gave him some gas money, he doesn't owe you anything. I like that. That is Moxley's way of effectively endorsing what Wheeler Yuta has done on his own. And I think that's a big thing because no matter how long Yuta is involved with this group or BCC or anything like that, he's probably still going to be looked at as the young boy. Even though he's 28 years old, he's been wrestling for a decade. He's been a part of the BCC and the whole group for almost 3 years now. But like, he's been ROH Pure Champion. He's done stuff like that. He's been Trios Champion. But he's still the younger guy. He's smaller barely smaller than everybody. But he is that guy, and he's also easy. It's easy for him to manipulate your emotions that way, right? Like, you look at him, and you're like, okay, I see that they can make him a babyface or a heel based on who is targeting him or what he does from a week-to-week standpoint. But this was John Moxley's way of being like, he's done paying dues. Whatever he owed you for you helping him then is long overdue, and he's well past that. So I thought they did pretty good here. Pretty good here. And it wasn't the conglomeration. It was Darby and OC, right? Yeah, Darby and OC. I think I said the conglomeration. And, of course, Wheeler Yuta got involved afterwards, and Marina got involved afterwards, and Moxley got involved afterwards. It just felt like that. But we did see the conglomeration beat the Learning Tree. This was one of many things that I felt was very disjointed, but had things that I liked. So, like, you know, I love the Hurt Syndicate and I love Swerve. I felt like that segment was a miss. I think that Chris Jericho has been doing some of his best work in a long time. This finish was a massive miss. I like Death Riders. I like OC and Darby. Ended in a DQ. That's almost against the spirit of AEW, but the segment was so good and the match was so good, I didn't really mind it. The Cole Malachi thing, that finish was cheeks, bro. Absolute cheeks. And then I felt like the last match of the night, even though it was good, I felt like the post-match needed what it got, but up until then I was like, ugh. But it ended up okay. So that one I didn't have any particular problems with. But conglomeration beats the Learning Tree. Let's talk about this very unusual finish that occurred. It was like, actually, you know what? I'll go back a little bit because there's a couple spots I liked. The guillotine through the table with Big Bill. And Kyle O'Reilly was phenomenal. And I love that Big Bill is getting his flowers an awful lot. Like Jericho straight up saying, damn, we should have just put the title on Big Bill. But that spot was really good. Big Bill is giving everything to this. Big Bill is jumping so much into everything that he's given. Whether it sucks or not, he's doing his best. Also, again, no time wasted in putting Jericho through a table. There's a J-driller. There's a big elbow drop through the table. Fantastic spots. Really like that. And I mean, for a feud that I felt like could have ended after the first match and didn't need Jericho to win the ROH title, didn't need anything further than that, I think that they're doing pretty good, at least putting on entertaining matches. But what was this finish? So Ishii gets the pin, and I'm fine with that. Don't have a problem in the world with that. Jericho, it didn't seem like he got up much for that. But if you go back and watch, I don't know if Jericho kicked out, but whatever he did, if you go back, you could see him clear as day talking to Ishii. I don't know if it was him telling him what to do or whatever, but it wasn't selling whatever it was that I expected him to sell in that. Now, knowing Jericho, Jericho probably said, oh, well, you know, go ahead, put your foot on me, show some dominance type of thing. That man was waffling about something. And I don't know what it was. Like right after the pin, he just straight up rolls up and he's like, so Ishii, what are we getting tonight after the show? What spot are we going to? And I was like, okay, that took me out of it a little bit. Then he sells dead. That's when he's just flat on the mat. People are asking, are Kate and Alex on the paid side? No, we're running streams at the same time, my friend. Same time. But yeah, it looked like he was trying to tell Ishii something, but it just came across as, well, here he is right after the thing. So it's not something that I view as like malicious. But yeah, guys, you're sitting here asking, I'm on Patreon, no notice. Kate and Alex are live on YouTube right now. Right now. We are both doing streams at the same time. I'm just whooping their ass in the viewership. Just whooping their ass in the viewership. Man, they don't have any rabbits to pull out of their hat. They don't have a Mick Foley winning the world title in the other show right now. I'm sorry, Kate. I'm sorry, Alex. Wednesday night is my night, damn it. Hangman attacks Switchblade and Juice Robinson makes the save. This match is also official for Full Gear. Had the opening segment reflected more of what this looked like, I would have been like, okay, that was good. I want to see Swerve go after the Hurt Syndicate because his pride is too much. Like, Swerve believes that he can take on everybody. Hangman believes it. Hangman believes that he can take on absolutely any group of Bullet Club Gold, Bang Bang Gang, whatever. He believes he can take them all on, and he's crazy enough to do it. He's going to do some scummy shit to do it, but man, like, he believes it, and I think that Swerve believes it too. And I think Nana will go to war with him as well. Nana thinks that he can whip MVP's ass, and I love that. Nana's got incredible confidence in himself. So I really like the way that this Switchblade Hangman thing went. They have not changed anything about Bang Bang Gang. Like, they still will jump you. Like, they do heelish things. Like, it's 2-on-1. And Juice came out of nowhere, man. Juice is such a great signing. Like, he was a guy that I was seeing years ago. And when they... What the hell was that group that he was in? Was it the Lifeblood? Yeah, it was the Lifeblood. Think back to this group now. Mark Haskins, Tracy Williams, but... Juice Robinson, Bandido, and David Finley in January of 2019. It's wild to think of them as a group. And when they came in, I was like, oh, damn. Well, Bandido, incredible in the ring. Juice Robinson, great promo. David Finley, we've seen what he can do now. No sweat in So Gray. I appreciate you. Hope to see you again soon, by the way. But... Like, Juice is such an indispensable performer. He's so good. I want him to get more than what we've seen. But I really like this segment as well. I really enjoyed this. There was passion behind it. There was emotion behind it. Really, really dug it. And as soon as they finished their first match at Wrestle Dream, I was like, I want to see them keep fighting each other. Like, you know, we've seen Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed be Peter Griffin and the Chicken. I believe in these two as Peter Griffin and the Chicken. And they have reestablished Switchblade in a big way. In a big way. I am crushing. C says, thank God I have wrestling as an escape from this terrible world we live in. Everyone stay strong. We'll get through this. Real graps are forever. AEW rules. Love you all. And thank you, Fightful. We appreciate you. We hope that it... watching our show is a nice escape from anything, man. I mean, I'll tell you this. I've been pretty public lately about the unfortunate year that I've had, especially in losing my family. And I look at the community that we have with Fightful and the people that I have that, you know, I have especially learned over the last 7 months far outweigh all the negative people that I used to pay way too much attention to. And I'm so fortunate that I have you guys and Fightful Select subscribers and my team, because it really carried me through that. Really carried me through that. And I appreciate you guys. Matthew Hook says, why are women getting less time? They had momentum. I think it might be because they're getting more time on Collision, but I agree with you. It should be they should get more time. We should see, in addition to what we saw with the match and the Camille Mercedes stuff, we should have saw another segment earlier in the night. I think that would go a long way. Eric says, I think Corbin would be a great fit for the Death Riders or the Elite. What about you guys? On a side note, just wanted to give a shout out to the NXT Women's Division. They're really crushing it lately. I feel like Tony missed out on signing a few of them. One of the big ones I feel like Tony should have signed was Maddie Rynkowski, a.k.a. Ren Sinclair. When she was on that show, I just kept saying it, man. I was like, she absolutely should get picked up. She should absolutely get signed. Couldn't believe that she didn't, but I did always feel like she was a better fit for NXT as well. You can go back to old Q&As, and I believe that. Eric said, the Claudio Darby toss was nuts, although Big Bill deserves much better. This was a good and fun match. What was at the ending of Cole and Black? Oh, boy. That is up next, as he says. Is Malachi done soon? I hope not. That would suck. Can't get into the Cole Mack story. I don't know why. How about you? I agree, my friend. Let me run to our sponsors at the wonderful NordVPN, and we'll be back to talk about it. Are high pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Saw one of my friends say that tonight they watched AEW for the first time with a VPN, and it made things a little bit clearer. The audio was better, all that stuff. One of many benefits of NordVPN.com/Fightful. And if you use NordVPN for something else, let me know what for. Immediately got a comment saying somebody uses it for Pornhub. Okay. So, Willie says, what's the status of Malachi Black? What else do we got here? Do you think Malachi is WWE bound in the new year? Let's see. We got Hank and Honk and Amazing saying, aside from Black and Cole, it was a ton of fun. What happened there? F the NXT stream. Ryan says, I know you said your report can't confirm it was a send-off for Malachi, but it definitely came off as one. Really strange. So, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, had some details on the Malachi Black situation. So, the crowd throughout this match was almost having to hype themselves up for it. Like, they were pretty quiet at times, and they'd be like, no, come on, guys, like somebody in the crowd would be. Man, for me so far, the Adam Cole return is an 0-for-2 on matches. And I mean, I just want to say this. I adore him as a human being. One of the truly nicest people you will ever run into. I love him as a performer. So far, it's had trouble connecting for me. I've had difficulty getting in. Maybe it's the entire angle with MJF in absence. But it's been tough to really connect emotionally with the matches, the story, anything like that. Like, it's been very difficult. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a bad taste in my mouth from how the angle ended last year and the injuries that contributed all to all that, but It's been a struggle for me to get into this and his first two matches back. Now, MJF, well, let me go in order here. There was a very awkward ending. As awkward as I said the Chris Jericho ending was, this one was infinitely more awkward. And I just want to make it clear, I don't know if something happened. I don't know if this was the planned finish. I don't know if maybe Malakai got cracked and was like, let's finish this out. But there was a clear like miscommunication towards the end of this match. And I'm working to find out what that is. I haven't heard back from anybody on it yet. Like Malakai ended up just kind of sitting down, turning around and saying like, come on, finish it. And then he does. After the match, he rejects a handshake from Adam Cole, hugs him. And then a lot of people are saying, oh, that looks like a send-off. So I will provide you as much detail as I can as I have gotten it. Now, I just want to say this. Like in the past, Malakai has taken issue with my reporting, with a lot of other people's reporting, and I'll try to provide as much detail as I can. Malakai has a contract with AEW that Tony Khan himself claimed on the radio in mid-2022. He said that there was almost 5 years left on it, which would mean maybe the end of 2026, start of 2027-ish. There's injury time, absence time, possibly. However, I had been told that there is the possibility of that being up at the end of this year, early next year, if AEW were to not exercise their options. Now, there were a lot of rumors a couple of years ago about him wanting to go to WWE. People in WWE claimed to me that he did, other wrestlers. And at that time, AEW was fine with him being home from what I understood, but did not want anybody to let anybody go to WWE. Now, I'm not singling out Malakai in that. The people there were telling me, like, we don't want anybody let out of their deals to go there. Ultimately, I just want Malakai to be where, one, he is happy. One, he is motivated, and I'm not speaking to his motivation here or anywhere else, but this is a guy who I think throws one of the meanest spin kicks in the history of wrestling. His skill set was that was something that had me in such awe. At one point, I pitched for him to win the cruiserweight or whatever title and then knock Brock Lesnar out with a spin kick to introduce him. That's how sold I have been on Malakai Black in the past. Like, I think when booked appropriately, when, you know, he's healthy, all that stuff, and when put in the right positions in the ring, he is convincing against anybody on the planet ever. So he didn't sign in 2020. He came along much later. I believe it was 2021, 2022 or something like that. But that's Tony Khan's claim. That was Tony Khan's claim. And I know that, there had been some people claiming that that was other. I think Malakai even said otherwise. But that was Tony's claim. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in, guys. We're still talking about this segment. After the match, Adam Cole says if he and Roderick Strong both get three wins on this race to three, which is such a like an okay, all right, storyline. Meh. That it'll be a triple threat match at Full Gear. MJF is mad. They're showing these segments as if they're present. And I'm like, well, do they have a live feed on him at his home? And why would he allow that? Why would he give permission to that? And why wouldn't he cut that? Why wouldn't he say, cut that damn camera? So he makes a phone call. The phone call is to Don Callis. I got to say, the scar is really great. Meet Norma says, who's MJF's new meat, asking for a friend? Well, fortunately, this fella helps you out. Says Duke Davis being Max's delivery guy was great. Yeah, he's a big fella, my friend. Big fella. Wrestles a lot in the Pennsylvania area for IWC, among many others. He's wrestled on ROH in the past. He's wrestled on AEW a bunch of times. I know that he teamed with the same guy, Gannon Jones, I believe it was, almost every time. I think like a half dozen times he was on AEW like a year ago, I believe. But yeah, he did ROH a couple months ago as well. But the delivery man brings the phone. And MJF says, listen, you take care of Adam Cole for me? I got something for you. Well, that bounty is effectively cashed in as Takeshita will have a match against Adam Cole next week. A different Adam Cole, I think, is going to need to show up next week than has last week and this week. Because Takeshita, first off, is a very large human being. This offense is going to need to look as convincing as humanly possible against a guy that is 6'2 or 6'3, 230. And I'm not one of the, oh, this guy's too little, this guy's too fat, this guy isn't this guy isn't that. But listen, he's a big dude who does convincing offense, and Adam Cole should go full Darby Allin and put every, you can say he's small or whatever, put every inch, every pound that you have into every offensive maneuver. I feel like that is very important. Christian cuts a promo. He mentions Kip Sabian just trying to get his attention, just like anybody tries to get a father's attention. I'm just excited to see Kip Sabian involved. But there were a couple little shots at ECW tonight on the night that ECW takes over NXT. There was this comment about, well, nobody would even care about your dad hook if he was dead, and talked about ECW and said it was a little pond and Taz was a big fish in a little pond. And then when he got in an ocean, he drowned. This is like, okay. I was like more interested in what Taz would tweet afterwards. I think he just said, I'm not dead. But he did bury Taz. But I mean, that's the point of this whole thing. You have Hook, who is the son of a legend and the patriarchy, and you know, eventually Christian's going to want to adopt him. He's going to want him to be a part of the patriarchy. It was fine. The other shot was very funny, very subtle. So AEW wisely has started to promote their live events and also promoting their VIP package sale on sale dates, which is November 20th for those interested in getting VIP packages for All In. But to promote their upcoming shows, they posted a graphic, and it's for tomorrow's Collision in Providence, next Wednesday in Bridgeport for Dynamite, next Thursday they're filming Collision in Albany, then Dynamite November 20th in Reading, Pennsylvania, November 23rd for Full Gear, then Wednesday, November 27th in Chicago, because they got to do that one again, right? But the graphic said November to Remember, which, as many know, was the trademark event of ECW. That was a nice little fun, playful, friendly shot. That's the type of stuff I like. I don't like the undercover, oh, I'm leaking you this stuff, I'm leaking that stuff, like trying to bury each other. Good friendly competition. I like the Jeeps rolling up to Nitro. As stupid as it was, I like TNA showing up to the Royal Rumble shoot with cookies and balloons. I like Eric Bischoff challenging Vince McMahon on screen. Give me that. Give me healthy competition and stuff like that. But they are finally advertising the upcoming shows. And what's important is They are advertising them to people that are watching their show, which is important. Cannot tell you how many times I've been told by people, I watch AEW, I didn't know they were coming near me because there was just a crawl at the bottom of the screen. We saw Chris Statlander backstage. And they tried to run Chris Statlander over. But they couldn't do it right. And Mercedes, I think this turn from Camille is happening sooner than later. And I've been screaming at guys, like, this has got to happen soon. I think Camille should be next up. And yes, I agree. Mama Wayne sold the best son line better than Nick. It was very good. She's been solid, man. She's been solid. But like Mercedes berates Camille and then ends up getting her ass whipped by Chris Statlander. I thought this was pretty good stuff because this already is developing and building something that is next. And I feel like that's something that especially needs to be continued in women's wrestling. This is why WWE had to do a battle royal this Monday because they didn't have anybody next. Well, this is very clearly next. Jamie Hayter has been without title, you know, in big title matches or anything like that, getting wins and accomplishing what she wants to accomplish. Camille is being built while still having matches with what Mercedes is doing and saying. Meet Norma says the NXT parking lot is all elite and run by Mox. And Camille's up next, what, to wrestle Mercedes? Yeah, quite possibly. Was the arm slam a way to have Mercedes recruit the Renegades? I hope so. I know that she likes the Renegades. I know that that had been pitched and thrown their way. I know Charlotte was working to get cleared. They've also been promoting that Mina Shirakawa is coming back. She's coming back next week. I'll have more on her on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. Got the Okada video. Having a guy like Jim Ross saying Okada is one of my favorite performers of all time, listen, that carries some weight. That's pretty cool. I really like seeing that. I really dig that. Jamie Hayter over Penelope Ford, as Booker T calls her. Penelope Ford, I'm glad to see her back. Like, listen, man, there's this unique thing that happens where whenever anybody is missing from AEW TV or WWE TV, everybody asks about them all the time. And then when they're back, nobody says anything on my Q&As about them. Nobody's hitting me up for a status update, anything like that. And it's unfortunate, man, because they miss you when they're gone. They don't appreciate you when you're there type of thing. And I'm glad they immediately put Penelope in a big feud. Now, she lost, but this was a very short match, way too short. Should have been at least a couple more minutes. Should have been at least a 7-minute match. She did beat Robin Renegade a couple weeks ago, but other than that, she has been gone for 2 years. And there were some very promising signs here. There was not anything like, wasn't anything particularly like evident for ring rust that I saw in either one of these matches. In fact, I saw the opposite of that with Penelope Ford because she does her matrix, the Trish matrix, and it looked like she was having trouble getting back up for it, but then she just jumped up just enough and hit the cutter. And I thought that was a really good save, if that's what it was. The Haterade looked real good here. And Penelope's been a lot more physical. She's been doing like ground and pound stuff, going after the body. She's like incorporated a lot more striking into her offense, and I really liked it. This was too short. This should have been longer. I would rather them have not had the opening segment on the show if it was going to be like that and added to this. Quite frankly, that's how I feel. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. MJF Roddy still the plan for full gear? I don't know. I assume that Adam Cole is involved. Now that Donald Trump is president-elect, does Vince McMahon get pardoned by Trump and return to chairman of the board position in TKO? So he doesn't need to be pardoned as of right now. If the DO or if they pursue charges on him and he's convicted, then he would need to be pardoned. And in that situation, yes, I think that there's like a 90% chance Donald Trump would pardon him because Vince McMahon has been a huge contributor to not just Donald, but I mean, Linda has been in his cabinet before. She was with him this week, all that stuff. And I mean, there's at least some sort of business affiliation with Linda and Vince still. As far as returning as chairman of the board to TKO, no. WWE are doing everything they can to convince the world that they have washed their hands of Vince McMahon. Hey, what's that over there? Says super curious who's going to be in the C2 this year. I don't know, but I'm going to work on finding out. Obviously, Eddie Kingston can't be in it. He's going to be out for, you know, quite a while longer, but I would be surprised if Okada isn't in it. And some people that are sort of floating around, I think, need to be in it. I think Daniel Garcia will have a bit of a redemption run, although I think that he's going to win the TNT title as well. Zach says, enjoy Dynamite, but I'm going to need them to start running more trios matches on pay-per-view, or at least Dynamite. Death Riders conglomeration should have been on pay-per-view or Dynamite. Well, Zach, I will point you to a show in which I was actually kind of optimistic about how many matches were on the card because of the kind of matches they put on the card. It was All Out 2024 just 2 months ago. And you know me, I don't like 12 matches on a show, but I looked at it and I said, okay, we didn't need Acclaimed and Iron Savages, whatever. But Hologram, Sammy Guevara, Dustin Rhodes, they beat the Premier Athletes. Well, they are not an actual trios, the ones that won. Bang Bang Gang, a trios. Beat the Dark Order. Well, now one member of the Bang Bang Gang is in a singles feud. The other three are not in a feud right now. Undisputed Kingdom. Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, Roderick Strong beat Shane Taylor Promotions and the Beast Mortos, who are not a trios. Action Andretti and Top Flight, who are a trio. But the Undisputed Kingdom are now largely involved in a singles feud as well. Okay. Undercard trios matches. Let's do them. Show us that it matters. It matters as much as you tell us it matters. Maybe New Japan or CMLL talent being in the C2. I think you could see Stardom and CMLL talent in a women's tournament whenever they do it as well. I think like a sort of World Cup of Wrestling type of tournament would be kind of cool for AEW. Let's talk about something I didn't see coming, even though FightfulSelect.com had reported that he was cleared a while back. Powerhouse Hobbs was the mystery partner for Ricochet. Somebody says Atlantis Jr. in the C2. I think that's possible. I interviewed him. It'll be up Thursday. Check out that and the Hardy Boys interviews. But Powerhouse Hobbs is back hitting, you know, filthy power slams. One's off the ropes. One's a second rope. Like, I loved a spot where Ricochet and him looked like they were going to double shoulder block somebody, but it was just Hobbs, and then Ricochet flexed like it was him. Ricochet is who we thought he was. He is great. He's incredible in the ring. And what I'm liking seeing on New Japan even is that we're starting to see that cocky attitude out of Ricochet. Like, he knows how good he is. Somebody said they wanted to be Dijak as Ricochet's partner. I think he's got a seminar now, though. I think he picked that up. But Hobbs out of left field, and it was somebody who had history with the Don Callis family. That was a good way. Basically, his contract expired with the Don Callis family. And I love it. I thought it made an awful lot of sense. It answers that question. It's a good 15-minute match. Hobbs and Ricochet won over Takeshita and Fletcher. Hobbs and Ricochet getting that win. That's a good win as well, because obviously they think big things of Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. Fletcher is feuding with one of their top guys. Takeshita is champ right now. International champ. Hasn't defended it outside or inside AEW yet, though. I'm ready to see that happen. Like, maybe they're trying to add some prestige to it in that sense. But, you know, they've been without MJF actually on this show since WrestleDream. Ospreay had largely been there without not been there since WrestleDream. So it's good that Ospreay came back at the end of this. But you also get Mark Davis back, who FightfulSelect.com reported today is cleared for a return. He gets attacked by Archer and Brian Cage. I love them as a team. I think that they are great as a team. I don't think they ever should have split up the Cage and Big Bill team. That looked very, very good and very promising. However, if you can go with this one, I'd rock with this. I'm fine with that. Sure. Looks like Takeshita Ricochet is the direction for Full Gear, because Fletcher and Ospreay is clearly the plan for Full Gear. Oh, also, there was a wheelbarrow suplex. Can't remember who was doing it. I think Takeshita, and Ricochet flipped out of that. Unbelievable. But like, as Mark Davis had gotten attacked by Murder Hawk Machine, the crowd is still maybe not accustomed to Mark Davis. He was around for a few months last year. Had a great match, but they're still not quite accustomed to who he is, what he looks like these days. He's been gone for a year. I'm glad he's back. Glad he's able to get physical. And Ospreay making this, I believe Cole came out as well to get ahead of things. But Ospreay ended up having to make the save. And I feel like the end of this needed that. I feel like it was necessary. You got Ospreay back. He's on the road. I think also, listen, AEW needs to start doing and advertising dark match main events. And if not, just advertise that, like, Will Ospreay is wrestling on this show. It will help your ticket sales, especially if you don't have Rampage to film in a couple months. I think it would go an awful long way. I like the fact that Takeshita is defending the international title outside of AEW against international talent. He did against Josh Alexander. I like that too. If that was an intentional thing and not just Scott D'Amore asked for it and he put over Takeshita thing. Fantastic match, by the way. Like, unbelievable match. Like, you got to go out of your way to watch that. Really, really good stuff there. Oh, guys, I'm here for about a minute more, unless y'all got super chats and humper chats. I am going to refresh the humpers and all that. But hey, if you're here, leave a thumbs up. Thursday, I got the Hardy Boys. I got Atlantis Jr. Today, we had Atlantis Sr. in a written interview with Luis. Friday, I think I've got Rocky Romero going up. But I just want to say thank you all. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I would greatly appreciate it. And so gracious for your next water. Buddy, this is what I bought. I bought a six-pack of these today because we had ran out of bottled waters. It was $12.99. It was insane. Insane, bro. It's water. It's water. That's what needs to be regulated. How could they charge $12.99 for six of these? That's price gouging. Come on now. Thank you guys so much. Again, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. If you have never tried out Fightful Select, please do. I would greatly appreciate it. I have been told that Fightful Select will soon be able to gift subscriptions, which is fantastic news. It's something that I've been asking for a long, long time. And it is something that I'm told that they are finally developing and implementing. And I mean, I've asked them to implement an awful lot of stuff like that. And they've taken some of it under consideration, I'm told, but yeah. You can share it with your friends, all that good stuff. You can, listen, I'm not saying that you should gift 100 of them, but you should. Until next time, we're out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.